Welcome back to the Grow series of messages. Today I'm very excited about what I'm going to share with you under the idea of how to discover and live the will of God personally. You know, I ask that question multiple times, really every day, and I'm sure if you love God and you love people and want to make a difference for the Lord on the earth, you want your life to count, you're asking the question, how can I know God's will for me personally? And today we're going to look at a passage of scripture that has impacted me many times over the last several years. In fact, it's been about 12 years that I've used this particular passage of scripture to help me discover God's will for my life, and I want to share it with you today as well. It may be an encouragement today as you attempt to discover God's will for your life. Now, if you're a ministry leader, there are times when you're trying to discover God's will for you in a larger context, meaning, you know, when you're younger, maybe what church should I join, or which school should I attend, or who should I marry? And then later on, God, where do I serve? If I'm a missionary, where are you calling me to? Which people group? And then God begins to narrow that down. And what do I do strategically? What's the vision that you've given me then for the next year, 6 months, 1 month? What's your vision for me today, God? And so these questions about knowing God's will are vital. And if you're not in ministry leadership, you're still a minister. And every Christian is called to serve. So knowing God's will for you personally is huge. And this is a massive topic that requires multiple scripture passages and significant ones indeed. I think of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that talk about our spiritual gifts. I think of other passages that talk about how we're supposed to employ the certain talents God calls us to use. I think of the idea of God putting us in certain situations where we are to serve. And so while what I'm going to share with you the next few minutes is not exhaustive, I do want to encourage you in broad strokes that you can know God's will for your life and know it well. Before I begin, I want to share some preliminary passages that will encourage you. If you've been saved, if you've been, say, you've been pastoring for 45 years, these will encourage you. If you were saved yesterday, these passages will encourage you. If perchance you're not even a Christian yet and you're exploring Jesus, these passages will encourage you to trust Christ. And so let me just share them with you. The first is Isaiah 58:11, and it says this, "And the Lord will continually guide you." Is that not a great promise that God wants to continually guide you? Psalm 32 verse 8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will guide you with my eye upon you." Have you ever been guided by someone's eye? You know, every once in a while we'll be at dinner with some friends and I'll bring up a topic for conversation, and Amber will guide me with her eye, and she's saying, "Don't go there." If you care about our relationship, you will not bring that up in the context of other people. And so, the fact that God wants to guide us with His eye, it's a very intimate relationship that the Lord wants to have with you and me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." What a great promise from God. And then finally, Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has planned beforehand that we would walk in them." And what I want you to understand is that God has a plan for you. Now, you may have discovered His plan for you previously, and you may say, "Well, Zach, I thought I knew His will for me yesterday or last year or when I was a teenager, but I've lost my way." Let me remind you, God has a plan just for you, and He wants to reveal it to you. I've talked in other messages in this series about what happens when God hides his face, when God's will is hidden from us for certain reasons and purposes. And he certainly does that. But at the end of the day, he does that for our good and for our growth to prepare us to enter into his will. And so if you're in a dark time, maybe you just need to rest and to say, okay, God's got a plan for me, and at the right time, he will reveal it. Quite possibly, though, you are in a time when God is prodding you to, and he's saying, you do not know what I've got for you. You are not living for me, and you need to find it. Or maybe you are living God's will, but you just want to know the security of having the confidence that you're in his will. And so no matter where you are, this passage of scripture I'm going to share with you in just a moment, and then the explanation thereafter, hopefully, will be of great encouragement to you. Now, the passage today for our study is found in Psalm. It's the book of Psalm, chapter 37. And this is David's message to us who want to discover God's will. And I'm going to give you the context. We'll read verses 1 through 5. And it says this. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it." Now, what I want us to begin with real briefly is simply this, is that all of us at one time or another get caught up in worrying about the world or envying the world. And here, from the very beginning, David is saying, don't worry about them and don't envy them, because their lifestyle, the way that they are, will not last. So then he moves on and he says, trust in the Lord. Now today, before we can ever discover God's will, I want you to understand this. You know it well, but let me remind you that we cannot know God's will for our lives if we are following or worrying about the pattern of the world. We have to differentiate ourselves from those around us who do not know the Lord and focus ourselves back onto Christ, as it says here, trust in the Lord and do good. So right now the question is, have you chosen which path you're going to take? You may be a believer, but have you chosen today to follow Jesus and to trust him? If you haven't, make that decision. That's the first thing to know in trying to discover God's will for your life, is to trust in the Lord. Then he goes on to say, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Real briefly, what this means to a Jewish reader in David's day, listening to the psalm he wrote, that person would have thought, okay, for me, I've got to live in this land that God's given us and to dwell in his promises and to trust him and deliver him here in the land. Well, for Christians today, we haven't been given a geographical location that is tied to God's promises. Sure, God calls us to places, but for us to live in God's promises doesn't mean that we live in the land like the Israelites used to do. No, for us to live in God's promises, we have to do what John 14:15-16 say, which is to remain in Christ, or to abide in his love, to stay connected to him. And so a New Testament translation of this verse would be, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in Christ and cultivate faithfulness. So trusting in the Lord is pretty self-explanatory, but doing good and abiding in Christ, this is challenging. Simply put, to do good in God's eyes and to abide in Jesus means that we learn who Christ is, we emulate him, and then we follow his commands. And John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus says, "These things I have told you, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." The things that Jesus has taught us through the gospel specifically, but the whole witness of scripture too, those are the things that allow us to remain in Christ. And so here we go back to the application of knowing God's will. One, make sure you're not following the world or gaining anxiety and letting them stop you from following, but you choose to leave worldly influences and trust in God. And then you choose to remain in Jesus and follow him. Now, you say, well, Zach, how has this helped me discover God's will? Well, here's what it does. It prepares you to receive his word. When you're trusting him and remaining in him, your life, your very soul, is prepared to receive God's specific will just for you. And also, just by trusting and following him, you are accomplishing the vast majority of his will for you in just your daily living. But then you might say, well, Zach, what about, again, like you mentioned earlier, what about the school I'm supposed to go to? What about the girl I'm supposed to marry, the guy I'm supposed to marry? Or you may say, well, what is it about the next ministry role God has for me? Or maybe I'm aging. I need to know when to retire or what to do in my retirement. That's not in the scriptures. And you're right. Those aren't in the scriptures. So you say, well, what next? Well, listen to verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This verse obviously can be taken out of context and can be seen as, if I delight myself in God, I can write a blank check and he'll fulfill it. And of course, we all know that's not true. So what does this mean? Well, simply put, it means that when I am remaining in Christ and trusting in him, and he is my chief delight, meaning my source of joy, my reason for existence is found in Jesus, and I take the greatest pleasure in all of life in him, then he begins to shape my heart because my heart has been given to him. He is my delight. And my heart can begin to be shaped by him, and he can fill my heart with his desires. And when my heart and his heart unite, then the Lord gladly and willingly accomplishes those desires that I have because they're from him. And so today, as I'm speaking to you, the question remains, is Jesus your chief delight? I'm not asking you, do you love the Lord? I'm not asking you, have you had your quiet time today? I'm asking you, is Jesus the chief delight of your heart? That's a significant question. And so if you want to know the will of God and you've chosen to leave the influences and the pattern and your desire to follow the world and you're trusting in Jesus and you're doing your best to remain in him, and now you're confronted with this idea of, okay, I'm trying to remain in the Lord. I'm trying for him to be my everything. I'm trying for him to be my chief delight. Then the question becomes, what desires is he putting on my heart? Because if you're following the world, or you're not trusting in Christ, or you're not abiding in the Lord, or your chief delight is in something else, you will have desires, but those won't be the Lord's. But if you have confidence that you're following Jesus and he is your chief delight, then what is he saying to your heart? How is he shaping your soul? What desires are there? And it may be something that you are very excited about. It could be something that scares you to death, that at night you wake up thinking about what is on your heart and you do not know if you can handle it. But all the while, God knows. And so we have this pattern going on here, where as we trust in the Lord and we grow in him and he becomes everything to us, we can begin to trust the desires that he puts in our hearts. But again, we're human beings and we're fleshly people. And so sometimes we find that even in our joy for the Lord and our desire for Jesus, that sometimes we can get it wrong. We can have some passions and desires that we think are from him, that would certainly be for him in our hearts, but they're not necessarily from him and he doesn't bring them to pass. So how can we find that out? How can we find out if a desire really is from the Lord that he wants us to pursue as his will for us? Well, thank God for verse 5. Listen to verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. The word commit also means to cast. And so let me give you a mental picture that might help you understand what we're talking about here when we talk about committing. I'm loving Jesus. He's my chief delight. And I've been having this desire that I think may be from him that could be my next step in his will for me. How do I determine if it's from him? Well, I commit it to Jesus or I cast it. Think about this for a moment. Think about you're at the beach and you're playing frisbee with some friends. You're playing frisbee, you're throwing frisbee, and you throw the frisbee a little bit too far and the wind catches it and it carries it out and it lands about 30 feet into the ocean. Well, two things will happen. One, the wind will keep carrying that frisbee out to sea because that's the way the wind's blowing today. Or the waves will catch the frisbee and the current of the waves will bring the frisbee back to you. The same is true with this desire, this thing in our minds or our hearts or our souls that we feel is from God. We cast it out to him. We say, Lord, I think this is from you. I'm going to give it back to you and see what you do with it. You might take it out to sea and I never have to deal with this again. Or you may bring this back around and you make it absolutely clear this is your will for me. Now, he can do that multiple different ways. For instance, he may say, well, for you to commit this back to me and for me to show you if it's my will or not, you need to take an initial step. For instance, like talking to someone about what you think is on your heart or praying about it for a season of time and seeing if God opens doors about it. There's a lot of different ways to cast your desires back to the Lord and to see what he does with it. But ask the Lord, say, God, how do I commit this desire to you and let you do what you want to with it? Verse 5 again, let me repeat it one more time. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. The Lord will either take it away or he will give it right back to you and begin to open doors. As Revelation says, what he shuts, no one can open, and what he opens, no one can shut. And if we can commit things back to him, we will see what he does in our lives. Now, I realize what I've just shared with you on the surface can sound very simple because it's from five short verses. But if you've been a believer for a while, you understand how profound what I've just mentioned really is. And I do not presume by any means that this is an easy task. Discovering God's will for your life, especially if it is a major next step that requires years of investment, will take quite a while for you to walk through this process. But I want to encourage you to think these things through and to begin doing what I've mentioned to you that David has given us through these five short verses. There are other passages of Scripture that speak to knowing God's will, and I would encourage you to incorporate those into your life. But I hope that these five short verses have been able to been an encouragement to you. So, to summarize today, let me just remind you, okay? First, say no to the world and say yes to Christ, to trust the Lord. Second, do what he says and abide in him. Follow the Scriptures. Make sure you're living according to what he wants you to do and that your relationship with him is solid, that you are remaining in him. None of us have perfect relationships with the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus that is continual, consistent, and where you are resting in him and living your life as one who is abiding in him, as John 15 discusses. And then once we say no to the world and we trust the Lord, and then we're remaining in our relationship with Christ and doing what he asks us to do, then make sure we're delighting that Christ is our chief delight. And as he is, listen to the desires he puts on our hearts. Commit those desires back to him. Begin to take initial steps to determine if God is in it or not. Watch what he does. Listen to what he says. And then we can begin to determine, hey, this really is God's will for me, and I'm going to step out in faith. My brother or sister, as you do, you're going to see God do great things for his glory through your life. And God bless you as you make your life count for him.